Welcome to the Journal Hijabi podcast. I'm your host, Sirin, and here we're all about elevating the voices of hijabi women in mainstream media through authentic storytelling. Without further ado, let's begin the episode.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Sirin. And today is just a solo episode with me. I'm just going to start off candidly. So I just got off of an interview, a pre-interview call with a future Journal Hijabi guest. Her story was pretty interesting. So she's a hijabi from France. She's originally from Algeria, Al-Jazair. And she lives in Paris, France. And so, but currently she's studying in London. Anyways, we talked about her experiences really living in Paris, France as a hijabi, being among the parliament and the governing body that is very anti-hijab, and pass laws and bills that have the intention to silence Muslim women are very Islamophobic, under the impression that they're promoting secularism. Let's hope it's pronounced like that. It doesn't even deserve to be pronounced right because it's actual BS. She was talking to me a little about that and how she went to a Catholic high school in France, I'm assuming, and she had to take off the hijab. Her teacher told her to take off the hijab while other girls got to wear, I don't know what it's called, like the veil, the nun, they got to be nuns. While her teacher was telling her, women have rights now. What? I don't like. So I was telling her, like, well, do Muslim women not have rights? Do Muslim women not, like, are they not part of the category of being in the progressive movements of women having rights? Nothing makes sense in France. Nothing makes sense in the European Parliament because deep down, you could say they're afraid or racist, but I think it's more racist, or there's like a political agenda, a political push that's pushing these anti-Muslim, anti-hijabi rhetoric. I was just like devastated when she was telling me that. And so you could tune into the episode whenever it's out. I don't know if this is going to be posted before or after the episode, but go listen to the episode and we're going to talk about it more in detail. But I decided to make this solo episode podcast, the first solo episode podcast this season, to just sit with that feeling, sit with the feeling that I had, that we had, the feeling that humans have an experience and feel collectively, and that is human validation. So it's not only just that, but it's also recognizing the layers of, okay, there's like the, all human beings, you know, seek validation. It's just like in our DNA, we were created imperfectly, blah, blah, blah. Then it's like tying into the layers, the onion layers of Muslim, you know, of Muslim woman validation. Muslim woman validation, in a sense, that was created out of the invalidation of us in society, and developed and created in a post 9/11 era, where it's like we were broadcasted as scapegoats and treated horribly for the past decade, and unjustly. And it's like these conversations are surrounding like taking the microphone back and analyzing life as a Muslim woman in a hijabi pre and now post 9/11, and how we fit into the media gaps. And so this is that dialogue. This is a dialogue of hijabi validation, of hijabi Muslim validation. And this conversation was brought up also in a previous podcast interview that I did with Natasha. And she, Natasha, if you didn't see her episode yet, so she makes like sweet hijabi blanket talk that she does on her Instagram. And they went viral, like millions of views collectively. And so one of those videos were a PSA to Muslim women, a public service announcement to Muslim women who don't say salam back when you're like walking in the street. A woman says like, smiles, hi, salam, hey, hello, marhaba. But there's like no reaction back. And she said that a lot of people, or I guess like Muslim women, like really related to that, because it's something that we've experienced at least one time. I've experienced it. And it's like, okay, sitting in that moment, we're triggered. I'm triggered that a fellow Muslim woman is not acknowledging me or validating my existence, because I've already felt that way by society in a post 9/11 era. So it's like, I'm not receiving that validation as a Muslim woman from society, but it's like not be able to receive that acknowledgement from a fellow sister. That's deep. That's personal. And it just really triggered me. And so that's triggered me and a lot of Muslim women. And so I really wanted to like sit down. Okay, like, so like what, why? Like, why is it that triggering? Why is it bringing up these feelings, these uncomfortable feelings that Muslim women have and hijabis have? There's a deep-rooted meaning behind it. And I know some people now are going to say, well, you know, we should only seek validation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is true, but this is deep. This is something deeper. I'm going beyond that. And you know what I'm talking about. I started researching more about it on the internet, of Muslim woman validation, hijabi validation, human validation. And so I came across this article that Al Jazeera posted, of all people. Al Jazeera, and it's titled, "Why Do Muslims Seek Hollywood's Validation?" Let's talk about it. Why do Muslims seek Hollywood's validation? Colonized minds drove Muslims to celebrate Lindsay Lohan's possible conversion while they ignored Terry Hold Brooks Jr. Islam is the only religion growing faster than the world's population.
Okay.
Terry Hold Brooks was a U.S. Army employee. The issue is not that of religion. Far from being a vanishing religion, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. Lindsay Lohan's interest in Islam, however, has an obligatory media staple for months. The actress of the Mean Girls Freaky Friday and a host of not-so-family-friendly movies is hailed by Arab and Muslim media and numerous social media users as if some kind of cultural and religion savior. Lohan's interest in possible conversion to Islam has branched into all sorts of areas of discussion. Like Holdbrooks, she is also branded as if a race traitor and has been, according to her own depiction, racially profiled during a recent trip to the United States. Conflating between race and religion is quite common in Western, especially American, society. Christianity itself was born in the Middle East region, but it seems that cultural appropriation has, at least in the minds of some, foolishly designated certain religions to be Western and other religions to be ethnic, colored, and foreign. So tying in kind of that perspective of religion, right? Because there's the hijab, it's part of Islam, you know, Muslim women wear it. So it's like sort of that feeling of religion, designated certain religions to be ethnic or colored or foreign, in the same sense that that Catholic teacher designated that student, Noor, and told her to take off the hijab while the rest of the girls in the school got to wear their nuns. You see where I'm getting at? The sense of false pride generated by the probable conversion of a Hollywood actress is perhaps an escape from the grand shame of a bloodbath being perpetrated by Muslims against their own brethren. That was deep. I don't know what that said, but that was deep. But it is more complex than this. The issue is far more telling than that of Lohan's faith and is a repeat of previous collective jubilation wrought by the marriage of Arab-British lawyer Amal Al-Amoudin to one Hollywood celebrity, George Clooney. Well, I guess we're talking about George Clooney now. Okay. Although Amal Clooney refused to investigate Israeli war crimes in Gaza, presumably to avoid creating an uncomfortable situation for her husband, considering his strong Hollywood ties, Arabs continue to celebrate her as if her marriage to the famous actor is a badge of honor and a validation for a whole culture. Sadly, the opposite is true. Such hype over inane occurrences is an indication of greater ailment. The continuing Western cultural hegemony over Muslim nations. Neither is it an issue of celebrities Muslims per se, for there are many famous black entertainers who are Muslims, some even devout Muslims. They rarely register on Arab and Muslim media radars as earth-shattering events. This is how the idea of American exceptionalism has been nurtured throughout the years. Not only is it flatly false, says Chomsky, but it is not uniquely American either, for every empire in the past has always cloaked its bloody actions under the guise of moral exceptionalism. The relationship between cultural domination and military control is itself rooted in a long tragic history. The late Professor Edward Said's Critic of the Arab Mind by cultural anthropologist Raphael Patai proved more relevant long after Said's book Orientalism was published. So kind of wrapping up this article, and it's like I'm trying to tie these two really deep. It's tough as a Muslim woman in a hijabi to discuss topics like these. It's so heavy and it weighs so much on my shoulders because it's not, you feel like you have to take it on all alone, and this is just like a one person thing, and it feels like me against Hollywood and me against huge corporations that historically don't represent or advocate for Muslim women in media. And I've struggled with that so much. But lately I've been accepting that it's okay. This was put upon me for a reason. It's something that I'm passionate about. And it's something that really needs to continue to be discussed. And we're doing that here today. And I hope that we can all learn something from this and continue to advocate for ourselves as hijabis and Muslim women in the media space, no matter how hard it can seem or feel or look like. But at the end of the day, it's important to remember to never let anyone invalidate your existence as a human or Muslim woman or hijabi woman or woman, except that Catholic teacher who told her to take off the hijab and the people who created the hijab ban laws in the European Parliament, except them. This is all I have today. And thank you so much for joining this solo episode. And yeah, see you later.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Thanks for reaching the end of the episode. We hope you learned something new about the women who wear the hijab. You can watch the recorded video of this episode on YouTube at Journal Hijabi. And be sure to follow our Instagram at Journal Hijabi to stay updated on all things hijabi and help spread our stories. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi.